Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Today we are starting our series, Are You Listening? Book of John. In John chapter 10, it's the words of Jesus. John chapter 10, and I believe we're going to start in verse 1. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says these words. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice." Say, "Hear his voice."
"Hear his voice."
"And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all of his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." Say, "Know his voice." "They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he is explaining to them that he is the good shepherd. And he uses for them an analogy that would have been familiar in their time period of the way that a shepherd cares for his flock. And part of the way that a shepherd cares for his flock is that the sheep learn to tune their ear to the voice of their shepherd. And he tells them, in the same way, those who are my followers have learned to turn their ear towards my voice. They hear my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow my voice. Hear it, know it, follow it. They hear my voice, they know my voice, and they follow my voice. And then he distinguishes, it's not just any voice that they hear and they know and they follow. In fact, they hear and they know and they follow my voice. And when they hear the voice that is not my voice, the voice of a stranger, they run from that voice because they know it is not my voice. Everybody has a day one that they hear the voice of God. I believe that hearing the voice of God has the ability to walk you through multitudes of seasons in your life. I don't know if I can recall the exact first time that I heard the voice of God, the day that I first knew his voice, but I can recall for you being a child, very young, and laying in my bed and knowing and hearing God say, "I'm with you in this moment," feeling the comfort of God leading me and coming around me in those early days. A time that I know that I heard from God distinctly that has been a returning word in my life is I was at a pivotal moment when I was finishing my schooling in Australia and I was trying to decide and figure out what is it that I'm supposed to do next. And when I was trying to figure that out, I felt a clear impression from God that moving back to the United States and not renewing my visa and staying in Australia for a longer period of time was my next step. And although I had made that decision, it was incredibly unclear what I was supposed to be doing next. And I remember praying one day and saying, "God, what am I doing when I go back? Why am I going back? What's coming for me when I go back?" And I didn't get the detailed blueprint that I wanted, but I heard the message from God that said, "Whatever I put in front of you next, say yes." And it wasn't much longer, a couple days, maybe a week, and I got a call that someone who was on staff here at the church at the time, an administrative role, their life was being moved to another state, and that role was open, and did I want to take that role? And I said, well, I guess my answer is yes, because God told me whatever's put in front of me next, say yes. And that has become a recurring word in my life, that at critical moments, all the way up until 2017, when our founding pastors approached Phil and I and said, we'd like to offer you to the role of being lead pastors. It was a role that we had never imagined ourselves in. We weren't kids who were chomping at the bit to be put in the lead role, just waiting for our turn. We knew quite clearly that we just wanted to help people live lives that looked a little bit more like Jesus. And we thought we would do that in support roles and in behind the scenes roles and through humanitarian work. But all of a sudden, something was offered in front of us and said, would you take this? And once again, I heard God say to me, whatever I put in front of you next, say yes. And this time I didn't move quite as quickly as I had moved for the other one. I said, let me consult some wise, godly mentors and let me pray on it for a few more weeks. But however it came, I just kept hearing God say, whatever I put in front of you next, say yes. And since I had decided a long time ago that I would hear his voice and I would know his voice and I would follow his voice, as you can see, we said yes. And I look back on my life. And as I look back on my life, I know that there are key moments where it was a word from God that gave me direction in that moment, that gave me comfort in that moment, that gave me understanding in that moment, that sustained me through what I was going through. I look back, and whether the word came directly to me or came through someone else to me, I look at all of these moments in my life, and I think if it wasn't for the ability to hear the voice of God, to know his voice, and to hunger after his voice, I'm not sure I would have ended up where I ended up, and I'm not sure I would have made it through to the other side, and I'm not sure that all of the pieces would have laid out how they did, because it was his voice that led me to that moment. And at the heart of this series is the belief that every believer can hear the voice of God, that he is speaking, and that he desires for those who follow him to hear his voice and to follow his voice. I believe that he is speaking to you today, and I believe that in critical moments of your life and in everyday moments of your life, that you would hear the voice of God, that you would know the voice of God, and that you would follow the voice of God. It's not our belief that hearing the voice of God is reserved for an elect few. It's not our belief that hearing the voice of God is only for clergy or people who stand on platforms. It's our belief that hearing the voice of God is available to everyone who believes in him and is listening. We believe what Joel said when he prophesied and said, "And in those days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions." I believe that every person under the sound of my voice will hear his voice. Our youth are in the room today. What's up, youth? That was the weakest thing I have ever heard. What's up, youth? There we go. I believe that God is speaking to you, that he's speaking over your life, that he has words for you and direction for you, that he gives strength and comfort and wisdom, that you will stand above the others because God is speaking into your life here and now. It's not reserved for someday when you grow up. It's for right here, right now, in this moment. throughout this series, our kids are going through the same content. I believe that our sons and our daughters will see visions, will dream dreams, that they will have prophetic words in their mouth, that God will speak to them clearly, that he will know their voice, that they will know his voice, and they will follow it all the days of their life. My heart for this series is that we would be a people that hear his voice, that know his voice, and that follow his voice. That's why in our life groups throughout the week, you're going to be going through incredibly practical material. This week is kickoff, is intro into it. Next week, life groups start throughout the week, and you're going to be looking at material on how to practically hear the voice of God, answering questions like, how do I listen for the voice of God? And how do I know it's God and not me? And what do I do if I feel like I have heard the voice of God? And every weekend when we gather here together, we're going to look at different people throughout the Bible, their stories, and how hearing from God impacted them and the lessons that we can learn from their lives, because God is a speaking God. I don't believe the question is God speaking? I believe the question is, are you listening? And the first person I want to look at is Samuel. Samuel from the Old Testament. If you want to turn there, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 12, reads like this. It says, afterward, Samuel took a stone and he set it upright between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point. And so the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel's territory again. The Lord's hand was against the Philistines all of Samuel's life. Samuel was a leader in Israel. Samuel was a leader among God's appointed people and called people. God positioned Samuel in such a way that he spoke through Samuel for the entire nation. And it says that all of Samuel's days, because of the way that he communed with God and because of the way that he heard God's voice and knew God's voice and followed God's voice, that God's hand was continually on the people of Israel and pushing against the things that tried to come against them. When you can hear God's voice, it has the ability to become a protection in your life that allows things that are coming against you to be pushed back against you. And Samuel stood as the one who heard from God on behalf of the people and said that because of the way that he heard them, God's hand was with them. Samuel was a man of incredible character, known for his integrity, known for his uprightness, known for his honesty and his courage and his bravery. Samuel was a prophet among the people. Samuel was a priest in the temple, in the house of God, who interceded on behalf of the people. Samuel was a judge among the Israelites. See, after the Israelites came out of bondage and into their land of promise, then God set up for them judges who would rule on their behalf and who would administer justice on behalf of God. And Samuel was one of these judges. In fact, he was the final judge of Israel. He was the final judge of Israel, because the people started looking not to God and started looking not to Samuel, their mediator between them and God. They started looking to the other nations and what they had set up. And when they looked at the other nations, they saw that all of the other nations didn't have these judges that they had. They had kings. And so they came to Samuel and they said, we want a king too. There's actually a part where it says Samuel felt pretty bad about this, because he was like, these people are rejecting me. And it says when he felt bad about it, God's word came to him and said, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And give the people what they want. And so Samuel anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David, on behalf of God. He anointed Saul under God's direction, and when Saul ceased to hear and to know and to follow the voice of God, then God said, Saul can't continue to be my king. Samuel, go and anoint someone else to be king. And he went and he found David, and it looked like maybe any of David's brothers could be it, because by man's eye, they seemed like the right fit. But God said, it's not any of them, it's David. And Samuel heard, and he knew, and he followed God's voice. And all through Samuel's life, if you read the account and the story of who Samuel is, you'll see that his life is a continual series of hearing, knowing, and following the voice of God. But even Samuel had a day one that he heard from God. Everyone has a day one when they hear from God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1. If you're in Samuel, obviously you'll turn back maybe a page or two in your Bible. This is when Samuel is a young man. The scripture reads like this: the boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. The word boy there is probably more accurately translated as youth. By all estimation, Samuel was probably somewhere between 12 and 14 years old when this incident happened in his life. And I want you to note that it says he served the Lord in Eli's presence. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. And one day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place. And before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was located. And then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I didn't call, Eli replied. Go back and lie down. And so he went and lied down. And once again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. I didn't call, my son, he replied. Go back and lie down. Is there any parents who have ever been woken up multiple times? Like, go lie down, child. But now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. But it's about to be. And once again, for a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and he got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy, and he told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responded, speak, for your servant is listening. I want everyone to repeat after me, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Speak, Lord, for your servant is
listening. Y'all did so well. I know it's a long one. It's tricky when you all have to talk together and it's long. You nailed that. This right here is a phrase that I think every believer should inscribe on their hearts. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to challenge you throughout the rest of this series. Every morning when you wake up, let your whisper to God or your cry to God be, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. All throughout my days, whenever I think of God, I want to think to myself, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It's a simple phrase that we've tried to teach our boys. We sit them in their beds sometimes and we tell them, just try and quiet your mind and quiet your heart. We have three little boys, so that in itself is a massive feat for them. And we say, just say, speak, God, I'm listening. Speak, God. I'm listening to you. If you read the next verses in the chapter, God begins to speak to Samuel for the first time. For the first time, Samuel, who would be known for hearing so clearly and administering so effectively the voice of God in his life, for the first time, he hears from God. For the first time, he knows what it's like to hear God's voice come to him. There's a couple of things that I want you to know about when Samuel began to hear from God. The first thing is that it said that Samuel was serving faithfully. He was serving the Lord faithfully in the house. It said that he was laying before the lamp had gone out. It was the practice and the custom to keep the lamp in the temple burning throughout the night before the sun rose in the morning. And it would have been his role and his service to sleep and to lay in the presence of God, faithfully serving in the house to ensure that the lamp didn't go out until the sun came up. And there is Samuel faithfully serving and yet not knowing or hearing the voice of God. He served God faithfully because he loved him. He served God faithfully because he knew his ways. He served God faithfully because he'd seen how he moved and because he understood his laws and his principles, but he hadn't yet heard his voice for himself and he hadn't yet known his voice for himself. Can I tell you that I know that there are those of you who are serving faithfully and you show up week after week and you go to places to serve and you go to places to volunteer because you love God and because you see the way that his hand works, but you haven't yet heard him for yourself. I was speaking a few years back to one of our young adults, and I was talking to them about something, and I said to them, well, what do you feel like God is saying to you? And you know, it can hurt when you've served God faithfully and you hear other people talking about hearing the voice of God. And you don't feel like you hear the voice of God. And what it turns into is, well, God doesn't speak to me the way he speaks to others. I said, what do you feel like God is saying to you? And they just said to me shortly, I don't hear God. And I was like, I hear that hurt. And we began to walk through some ways and some steps, actually some of the steps that we're going to go through in groups throughout the week, of how to begin to hear God's voice. My prayer is that if you felt like I've served God faithfully, yet I don't know that I hear him, that by the end of this series, you would hear God's voice clearly. The other thing that I notice is that God is speaking to Samuel before he knows it. God is speaking to Samuel, and yet he doesn't know that it's God speaking to him. He thinks it's someone else speaking to him. When you first begin to hear the voice of God, it often sounds like someone else in your life. It often sounds like a godly mentor, a godly leader. The voice of God to Samuel initially sounded like the voice of Eli. And he went to find Eli. And when God is training our ear, he will often use the godly voices of wise leaders and mentors and disciplers in our life. It's like this. I can tell you, my husband's Australian. My husband, Phil, is Australian. If I come home, I can tell you if Phil has been talking to his brothers or his parents. Guaranteed. Because when he starts talking to them, he starts sounding like them. His Australian accent kicks back in real strong and real thick every time he gets on the phone with somebody from Australia. When you have godly leaders and godly mentors in your life, they sound a lot like God because they've been talking to God a lot, and their heavenly accent, if you'll allow me the cheese of it, starts kicking in real quick. And God uses that to begin to train us to hear, to know, and to follow the voice of God in our life. God persisted in speaking to Samuel. 4 times God came to Samuel, 3 times unanswered, a 4th time that Samuel finally responded. It tells me that God wants to speak to us, that God is speaking. I promise you that God wants to speak into your life, that he has words for your life, that he has direction for your life, that he has comfort in the midst of heartache. God is a speaking God, and he will persist in speaking to you until you listen, until we hear him, until we know him, until we follow him. It says that then Samuel returned, then he finally said, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." And he began to train his ear, to train his spirit, to train his life, to be in tune with what God was speaking to him in that day and in that moment. It says that he began to hear God's voice. And from that point on, Samuel heard God, and he knew God, and he followed God. But it all started on a day one when, for the first time, God's word came to Samuel. And so maybe you've heard God's voice speaking over your life for many years now, and you know what it's like to hear the voice of God. Then I hope over the next several weeks that your spirit is stirred and that your spirit is encouraged to keep leaning in and saying, "God, what are you speaking to me?" And if that's your story, I want to encourage you to tell somebody close to you about the way that God speaks in your life. Hearing the way that God is speaking to us begins to create an environment and an atmosphere in our church that is anticipatory of hearing the voice of God. It stirs in others the hunger to run after his voice and to begin to speak to him. If you feel like you used to hear the voice of God and you wonder, "Does God still speak to me?" It says that when Samuel first heard the voice of God, that prophetic words were rare in those days. And maybe you're going through a season where you say, "It seems like I remember hearing the voice of God, but in this moment and in this season, I don't know that I hear the voice of God anymore." My prayer over you is that your ear would once again hear his voice, that the word of God would return to you, that his voice would become clear to you again, that he is no longer silent over your life, but that his voice is coming to you again in clarity and in confidence. And if you have never felt like you've heard the voice of God, I promise you it's not because he's not speaking. It's because our ears are not yet tuned to listening to his voice. And I'm speaking out over you that if you have never heard the voice of God, that over these next several weeks, you would hear him, you would know him, and you would follow him for all the days of your life. You can stand with me if you're able in this room. I believe that hearing the voice of God next to meeting the person of Jesus is among the most critical things that we will do as believers. God wants to speak to you. When we talk about being prepared for what we're going into next, when we talk about being prepared for all of the places God can take us, nothing prepares us. Nothing has prepared me like a word from God, like his voice speaking to me. I told you sometimes we talk to our kids and say, "Hey, what is God saying to you?" Several months ago, I was talking to one of our boys and they started telling me, "Oh, God told me he's with me when I'm at school." And so I was like, "That's awesome. Hey, tell me what it's like when God's speaking to you." A little bit because I was curious. Also, a little bit because sometimes you also want to verify when you're talking to kids. Like, you're like, are you just making stuff up right now? So how do you know? Tell me what it's like when God's speaking to you. And he starts describing it, and he goes, Mom, when God talks to me, it's like a movie. And it's like I can see it in my mind, and we're at the school, and it's like I see myself, and I'm walking down the row at the school in the hallway, and then right next to me, it's like I see God there. And then you know how when you watch a movie, it's like that person that talks over the movie? It's like when I'm watching this movie, then I hear, and he's like, see, that's me next to you while you're at school. I'm with you when you're at school. And I was like, boy, you heard from God. Go ahead. Because God prepares us for what we're walking into. And he prepares our kids when they're going into school. And I remember hearing a story several years ago about someone in our church, and they had grown kids and their kids had kids, so they had grandkids. And it looked like their family was going to be moving out of state somewhere. And as you can imagine, they weren't happy about this. They were like, no, my family and my kids need to stay right here where we all are together. And they said they were praying about it one day. And as they were praying about it one day, they heard God say to them, I'm in this. I'm in this move. And from there, it was settled that God, if you're in this, God's word prepares us for what he's walking us into, which is why I want for every believer to hear the voice of God, whether you're young or old, a new believer or a believer for decades. God's voice speaks to you. And I believe that. I'm gonna pray a prayer over you in just a minute, that his voice would just be open over us as a church. But the starting place is what some of you are hearing right now, when he calls you home to himself. The scripture we started at in John, Jesus says, I call my sheep and they follow me and they know my voice, and another they will not follow. For some of you today, Jesus is calling you in that first call to come home, to be in relationship with him, to stop following every voice that's fighting for your attention or that's desiring to take you down the many paths that life might throw in front of you. But he's saying, hear me, know me, follow me. It feels like your heart starting to pound, or the warmth in the midst of your gut. It sounds like him calling your name, him saying, come home to me. It feels like peace all over you. It looks like pictures of you walking hand in hand with him. It looks like walking away from the chaos and the turmoil and the heartbreak that you've been in. It looks like the first time that you've responded to Jesus. That's you, and you're saying, I know that today is my day to begin following Jesus. I just want you to lift your hand straight in the air all across the room. I see you, sir. I see hands going up saying, today is my day. I see you, sir, that's saying, this is my day to follow Jesus. Come on, what a great day for some people to be coming home to Jesus. Just keep your hands straight in the air. With hands lifted high, I'm gonna pray a prayer of salvation with these guys who have lifted their hands. And then I'm gonna pray over all of us before we're dismissed today. If you've just lifted your hand, say these words after me. We can all say these words with these guys. Say, Jesus, I come to you today and I thank you for your word. I thank you for calling me home. I believe in you. And I promise to follow you for all of my days. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Can you celebrate with these people right now? And God, I just speak over our church that there would be an open ear towards your voice. Over every believer under the sound of my voice, I declare that you would be their guide. I speak and we commit to being people who hear you and know you and follow you for all of our days. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Amen.